ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, entitled Description of Varnashram Dharma, Chapter 18, begin with the very first verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Vanam Vivikshu Putreshu भार्या नस्य सहेतुवा वने एव वसेत् शान्ता तृतीयं भागमायुषः। श्री भगवान उवाच वनं विविक्षु पुत्रेषु भार्या नस्य सहेतुवा वने एव वसे शान्ता तृतीयं भागमाशुचः। श्री भगवान उवाच वनं विविक्षुः पुत्रेषु भार्या नस्य सहेमवा वने एव वसे शान्ता तृतीयं भागमायुषः। श्री भगवान उवाच वनं विविक्षु पुत्रेषु भार्या नस्य सहैव वा वने एव वसे शान्ता तृतीयं भागमायुषः। श्री भगवान उवाच वनं विविक्षु पुत्रेषु भार्या नस्य सहैव वा वने एव वसे शान्ता तृतीयं भागमायुषः। श्री भगवान उवाच वनं विविक्षुः पुत्रेषु भार्या नस्य सहैव वा एव वसे शान्ता तृतीयं भागमायुषः। माताजी श्री भगवान उवाच वनं विविक्षु पुत्रेषु भार्या नस्य सहैव वा वने एव वसे शान्ता तृतीयं भागमायुषः। श्री भगवान उवाच वनं विविक्षु पुत्रेषु भार्या नस्य सहैव वा वने एव वसे शान्ता तृतीयं भागमायुषः। वर्ड बाय वर्ड मीनिंग। श्री भगवान उवाच द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड सेड वनम द फॉरेस्ट विविक्षु desiring to enter, putreshu, among the sons, bharyam, wife, nyasya, entrusting, saha, together, eva, indeed, va, or, vane, in the forest, eva, certainly, vaset, one should dwell, shantaha, with peaceful mind, tritiyam, the third, bhagam, division, ayushaha. So translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, one who desires to adopt the third order of life, vanaprastha, should enter the forest with a peaceful mind, leaving his wife with his mature sons, or else taking her along with him. Purport. In Kali Yuga, a human being generally cannot live more than 100 years, and even this is becoming most unusual. A man who has a reasonable expectation of living for 100 years may adopt the vanaprastha order at the age of 50, and then at the age of 75 he may take sannyas for complete renunciation. Since in Kali Yuga very few people live for 100 years, one should adjust the schedule accordingly. Vanaprastha is intended as a gradual transition from materialistic family life to the stage of complete renunciation. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Yasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam. Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sagana Lalita, Shri Vishakhanvitamscha, हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna. So, welcome all of you to this Srimad Bhagavatam class. So, at the very outset, I crave for the blessings of all Vaishnavas sitting here so that I can commence speaking on this first verse of the 18th chapter of the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, in this new chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is continuing with this discussion of the Varnashrama system. The 17th chapter, which consisted of 58 verses, also talked about that, but now we are continuing. So, who is the creator of this Varnashrama system? the Supreme Lord Himself, Krishna. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam gunakarma vibhagashah tasya kartaram apimam vidhi akartaram avyayam. The Supreme Lord Krishna Himself creates this Chaturvarna system, and though He is not part of it, He is the one who created it, and the Lord desires that this system should function. This was also the desire of Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, that somehow Varnashram system should be established in ISKCON. So, which are the four Varnas? Brahmana, Kshatriya, then Vaishya and Shudra. And which are the four Ashramas? The Brahmachari Ashram, then we have the Grihastha Ashram, Vanaprastha and Sannyasi. Now, the Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Sri Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So obviously he didn't have so much time to speak. But here in Uddhava Gita, Sri Krishna is elaborately, you know, expounds on this Varnashrama system. So in the 17th chapter, we had discussions on the Brahmachari Ashram and the Grihastha Ashram. And now in this 18th chapter, which we have discussed just now, he begins with a discussion of Vanaprastha Ashram. And later on, you will also be talking about the Sannyas Ashram. So, Srila Prabhupada, in his various purports in Srimad Bhagavatam, has written at several places extensively on what constitutes Ashrama Dharma. Extremely important subject. So, Prabhupada writes that the conditioned souls under material bondage are prisoners of matter. We are prisoners of matter. Our human body is made of, you know, all the elements. It is housing the Atma, Jivatma, which is very, very important. So, self-realization is the ultimate goal of life. One should never ever forget. So, the whole system of Ashram Dharma is a means for detachment. So, life of human being is a chance to prepare oneself to go back home, back to Godhead, or to get rid of material existence. The repetition of birth and death, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatreshenam. You want to get out of that. We don't want to be again in the womb of yet another mother. Of course, mothers are all respectful entities. So therefore, the Varnashram Dharma, every man and every woman is trained for this purpose. So Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that Ashram Dharma is meant for obtaining detachment. This is the goal of Ashram Dharma. So, this is particularly so of Vanaprastha Ashram and also Sannyas Ashram. So, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada gives a definition of what is Vanaprastha Ashram. What is Vanaprastha Ashram? Yes, people talk of going to the forest, but what is Vanaprastha Ashram? So, Prabhupada gives the definition. He says that the preparatory stage for renounced order of life, sannyas, is called Vanaprastha. So it's the preparatory stage. You prepare for sannyas. It also entails, you know, detachment. So while grihastha householder also aspires for detachment, even a grihastha householder should also aspire for detachment, but during the course of his practice of bhakti, but the very basis or very substratum Vanaprastha Ashram and Sannyas Ashram is detachment. So this we have to understand very clearly. So, I remember even in the earlier chapter, there is a verse in which the Lord says that even a grihastha should live in his own house as a guest, wherein he hints at what should be detachment. So, we should live in our own house, we are grihasthas, but live as, you know, kind of a guest. That means, you know, it's a temporary state of existence in grihastha ashram. You have to make a transition to the vanaprastha and the sannyas. So, in his book on Science of Self-Realization, which was the very first book that I read, then I came into Krishna Consciousness, Science of Self-Realization, Srila Prabhupada writes that the boat of human life is constructed in such a way that it must move towards a spiritual destination. There is a verse later on in Srimad Bhagavatam, Rudeham Adhyam Shulabham Sudurlabham Plavam Sukalpam Guru Karanadharam. So, the boat of this human body, this body is constituted in such a way that eventually the goal of the body, human body, should be to reach towards self-realization. So, that is important. So, unfortunately, Srila Prabhupada writes that this body is anchored to mundane consciousness by five strong chains of, you know, attachment. It's called anchors. If the boat, you know, is anchored, it cannot move. We have that famous story of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which I won't repeat. The marriage party, you know, was going to, crossing a river and going to the other side of the river. And the entire party sat in a boat. The boatman said, he was very happy, so many people are traveling. And it was night time, the moon was there in the night, a gentle breeze was blowing, and the marriage party went to sleep. The boat was moving. They thought the boat is going towards destination. But when there was next morning, when they saw that the boat was where it was, it had not moved at all. Why? Because the anchor had not been removed. Anchor had not been removed. Therefore, the boat was moving, but it was not actually moving. So that is the state of affairs. So, similarly, we are all attached to mundane consciousness by various types of attachments. To understand detachment, we must know what our attachments are. So we'll be discussing about attachment. So the very first attachment or very first chain is the attachment to the material body due to ignorance of spiritual life. We are told again and again that we are not the body, but the spirit soul. Mamayava Amsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We are all Amshas of the Supreme Personality of God. And as Amsha, it should be our supreme duty to get rid of body consciousness and, you know, serve the Supreme Lord. That should be our bounden duty. So that is what is hinted here. So we are eternal fragmental parts of the Supreme Lord. So because of this being a material world, Maya Nagari, we are continuously struggling with our senses to conquer, you know, Maya, to conquer our sense enjoyment propensity. So Srila Sukadeva Goswami speaks about such attached householders in the second canto. In a beautiful verse, Sukadeva Goswami says, Nidraya hiyate naktam vyavayena cha vavayaha divacha artha ihaya rajan kutumba bharanenava. So Srila Sukadeva Goswami is hitting the nail at the right spot. He says that the lifetime of such householder is passed at night in sleeping or in sex enjoyment, and in the daytime either in making money or maintaining family members. Isn't this the life of every householder person? So that is the life of everyone. So we worry all the time about our deha, our body, but we never ever worry about dehin. Dehin, that is the spirit soul. We never worry about dehin asmi natha dehe komaram yavanam jal. We pass through various phases of life thinking that we are the body. But we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. So whenever Srila Prabhupada would visit any prestigious institution abroad, like MIT or some such institution, he would ask the people, you know, you have so many departments in so many sciences, so many technologies, but where is your department for the soul? Where is it? Obviously there wasn't. That's why Prabhupada started Krishna consciousness in the West. So this is how we have to look at it. So this is the first attachment. So we are attached to our own body. We spend all our time, you know, decorating the body and, you know, making it comfortable, live in comfort and all that. So that is the anchor. And because of this bodily attachment and spending all our time and energy in pampering our body, we do not seem to have sufficient time for the real, you know, achievement of for the real goal. Ata pumbir dvijashreshta varnashrama vibhagasha swanushtitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. We do not worry about samsiddhir haritoshanam. We worry only about pampering our own body. So which is the second anchor? Srila Prabhupada says, attachment to bodily relationship, wife, children and relatives. So, our acharyas, different acharyas, including our Srila Prabhupada, they often talk about, you know, the ephemeral, the temporary nature of relationships. So, Sripad Shankaracharya, in a very beautiful verse in Bhajagovindam, describes, Yavat pavano nivasati dehe, tavat pruchati kushalam gehe, gatavati vayav deha paye, bharya bibhati tasmin kaye. Very beautiful verse. So Sripad Shankaracharya is saying that
when one is alive, that when there is breathing, you know, vayu means breathing. So long as the breathing process is there, if you are breathing, you are living. If you stop breathing, you are not living, you are dead. So long as one is alive, his family members inquire kindly about his welfare. When we are alive, everybody asks, how are you? How are you doing? You know, in my case, since I have reached 80, people always ask me, how is your health? How are you? So this is a constant inquiry. So family members inquire about that welfare. But gatavati vayo dehapai. Dehapai means when the body becomes dead. That means when the breathing process stops, at that time, even the wife, bharya bibhyati tasminka, even the wife runs away from the corpse. He doesn't want to remain with the corpse. So this is the nature, this is the temporary nature of human relationships, which is what we have to think about if we want to develop detachment in our life. Nobody is permanent, nobody is eternal in this life. So, bharya bibhyati tasmin kaye. Once the breathing process has stopped, it starts worrying. In another verse, Shripad Sankaracharya says, kate kanta kaste putraha samsaro ayam ativa vichitraha. Kate kanta, who is your wife? Kaste putra, who is your son? Samsaro ayam ativa vichitra. Strange is this samsara. The world of whom are you? From where are you? From where have you come? Brother, ponder over these truths. Kasya tvam ka uta ayataha tat tvam chintaya tadahi bhrata. So this is the temporary nature of our body. So this is not to in any way denigrate. I have said kate kanta. This is not to in any way denigrate the wonderful spiritual relationship between a Krishna conscious husband and a Krishna conscious wife. Shankaracharya has said this. Why has he said that? So that, you know, we develop detachment. So our attachments are so overwhelming that unless we develop detachment, we cannot progress further. This is what we have to do in Vanaprastha Ashram. So it's not intended to, you know, in any way demean the relationship between husband and wife who are Krishna conscious. This is actually on the highest plane. Together they can make progress and attain spiritual goal. Okay? So in the Valmiki Ramayana also, Lord Ram advises Bharata. He also talks about the temporary relationships which are there in a family. When did this happen? Bharata with his entire army, with all the sages, with all the queens, goes to meet Prabhu Ramchandra. He wants to persuade him. He wants to persuade him to come back to Ayodhya and take over the kingdom. He goes with that aim in life. So when he goes there, and Lord Ram asks him, where is our father? He doesn't know, because Dashrath leaves his body after Ramchandra departs for the forest. He doesn't know. So he asks, where is Ram? At that time, Bharata breaks the news to him that father has left body, constantly remembering you. Left body. So Prabhu Ramchandra collapses. He faints. So somehow or the other, he comes back to the normal. But he sees that Bharata is overwhelmed by pain and anguish at losing his father. He is overwhelmed completely. So Ram advises him in a very beautiful verse. Yatha kashtam cha kashtam cha same yatam maharnave samaitta tuva peyatam kalamasadya kanchana evam bharyascha putrascha jnatayascha vasunicha samhritya vyavadhavanti druhohi evam vinabhavah. So Lord Ram explains to Bharata, he himself is bereaved, he himself is in pain because father has passed away. But being as an elder brother, he advises Bharat to come out of his anguish. And he says, he talks about the temporary nature of relationship in this, you know, our family life. He says, just as in an ocean, you know, two logs of wood, they are floating on the waves of the ocean. So the two logs of wood, you know, they come close together. For some time they stay together. And after some time, another big wave comes and separates them. He says that family life is like this. A man and a woman, they come together, they stay together, they have a house together, they are in grihastha ashram for some time. But time, you know, kala, you know, takes care of every person. So he comes and he separates the husband and wife. So this is the temporary nature of, you know, human life. So I remember there was a beautiful song in Marathi, Gitrama. It is called Gitramayan in Marathi, translated by Gadi Madgulkar. So he translates this kashtam verse. He says in beautiful verse, he says that Dona Undrakyanchi Hote Sagaranta Bheta. Dona Undrakya, that means two logs of wood. Hote Sagaranta Bheta. Ek Lata Todi Doga Puna Nahi Ganta. So this philosophy we understand, we appreciate, but it's so difficult to practice. Easily said than done. But nevertheless, we have to understand this, that eventually all bodily relationships, you know, have to end. We have to undergo separation. The wife will leave the husband or the husband will leave the wife. It happens in everybody's life. Very rarely do they go together unless, you know, there is an accident. So this is a law of life. This is how life is. We have to accept it. We have to understand it. So the third anchor is attachment to the land of birth. Prabhupada says, it's the land of birth and to material possessions such as a house, furniture, estates, property, business paper, a particular party, Congress party or BJP or whatever you have. That attachment is there. So people go all out their life. There is that beautiful story of Kailash. I won't go into the story, all of you know. How Kailash became so attached, you know, that story. And Narad Muni comes. Narad Muni comes to detach him from family life. He comes there. Kailash says that, please come after some time. You know, I'm starting a family. I'm married and, you know, I want to have children, you know, that. Narad Muni comes again. This time he says, my children are very young, you know, I have to take care of them, I have to educate them. Then after some time, Narad Muni, so he's so consistent, he comes again and asks, you know, come on, Kailash, I've come again, come with me, come to the spiritual world. He says, no, you know, but my sons, you know, are all irresponsible. They don't know how to take care of the property. So let me stay for some more time, I'll come after some time. Then after some time, Narad Muni comes. This time, Kailash is not there. There's a dog barking at him. So Narad Muni realizes that Kailash is now in the body of a dog. So after some time, he asks Kailash in the body of a dog, you want to come with me now? I'll take you. Narad Muni is so compassionate. He says, no. But you know, all my sons are so irresponsible. They don't lock the door at night. You know, they keep the door open. So I have to guard the property. Let me be in this life. So that attachment for the house, attachment for the sons, the attachment for everything that they have, that continues. And is not able to leave. Then Narad Muni comes. This time when he comes, he sees a deadly cobra hissing. So Narad Muni recognizes that now Kailash is in the body of a cobra. So he is also incidentally Dehino Asmin example. So he understands that he is in the body of a cobra. So he needs to be liberated. Now he says that cobra, he tells, come with me. But he says, no, I have to guard, you know, because these, my sons, you know, they have buried, you know, treasure in the field there outside, which I have to guard, so I have to be here. This time, Nara says, enough is enough. He tells the sons of Kailash that there is a dangerous, poisonous cobra here, kill it. So he kills, the cobra is killed, and this time, the spirit soul goes with Narad Muni to the spiritual world. So we find that these bodily attachments are very much there. We are also attached. I'm not saying that attachment is a bad principle, but so if the attachment is used in furtherance of Krishna consciousness, then it is acceptable. The fourth anchor is attachment to material science. Science. People are, there's a science. Science is everything, you know. We don't believe in anything else. So I remember when I was in the university, you know, I was in Krishna consciousness, so people would ask me, you know, so why are you so much addicted to this Bhagavad Gita and so many other things, you know? So I would tell them that you are talking about material science, you know, where new things are found and those things are forgotten within no time. But I am talking about science of the soul, which is eternal. So Bhagavad Gita is science of the soul. So it is more precious than any other material science you can talk of, which human beings can discover. This is how it is. So that is spiritual. So Bhagavad Gita is science of the soul. And the fifth attachment is to religious forms, rudis, you know, religious, all, various rituals that we perform. Most of the time we perform, we are not spiritual, we are ritualistic in our approach. So ritual and spiritual. So ritual, we perform rituals just without understanding how these rituals came into being in the first place. All rituals are eventually intended to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is completely forgotten and we become attached only to the rituals. So this needs to be corrected. So Srila Prabhupada warns us that don't get involved in rituals. See the spirit behind it. So whatever activities we perform in Krishna consciousness, they are to be performed with our total involvement in the spirit part of it, not just the external part of it. I speak for myself, not all of you, you are all exalted devotees. But very often, you know, when we are chanting also, you know, very often the chanting becomes ritualistic, not, you know, spiritual in character. So Prabhupada is saying that, you know, don't be addicted to ritualistic, you know, consciousness. Be, you know, in spiritual consciousness. That is what Srila Prabhupada is telling us. So these attachments which anchor the boat of human body are nicely explained also in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that, you know, that this material world is, you know, full of attachment. These are like the roots of a banyan tree which go deep into the soil. And then Krishna advises that you should, you know, cut asunder all these attachments. Asanga shastrena, you know, with shastra of asanga, not getting attached. You cut asunder all these, you know, bondages. That is the only way. So you have to separate yourself. So at some stage in our life, we have to detach ourselves from family attachment. And that may come for certain people at a very young age. They may take sannyas at a young age. They may enter into Brahmacharya ashram as all of you have done, many of you have done. So, but at some stage in life, we have to cut asunder these our attachments with the weapon of, you know, asanga shastrena, without, you know, getting attached. So this is very, very important for us. So detaching oneself from strong bonds of family and attaching oneself to Krishna is the basis for Vanaprasthashram. In future classes, I'm sure you will hear a lot many things about Vanaprasthashram. But I just wanted to give an introduction to what Vanaprasthashram is. So we have to detach ourselves from strong bonds of family and attach ourselves to Krishna. Unless we attach ourselves to Krishna, we cannot be detached. So attachment has to be there. But to whom? To the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Attachment has to be there for the spiritual master, Guru. But we can that way detach ourselves from material things. And this is the process. So Srimad Bhagavatam is replete with so many stories, so many episodes of detachment. The most outstanding example to my mind in one of the is that of Kardama Muni. Kardama Muni. His, you know, detachment I would like to speak on. So who was Kardama Muni? Kardama Muni was son of Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma ordered Kardama Muni. He said that you become Prajapati, you know, you create. The world had to be, you know, inhabited by living beings, and Brahma is the Srushtikarta. So he assigned this first task to his four sons, four Kumaras. But the four Kumaras, you know, they were Nashtik Brahmacharis. So all honor and all respect to them. So they said that, no, sorry, we are, you know, more engaged in our Atma Tattva. We don't want to be the Prajapatis. And then Kardama Muni was also born of Brahma. So Kardama Muni, Brahmaji tells Kardama Muni, you become, you know, Prajapati. Kardama Muni is very respectful towards his father. He says, yes, father, I will do what you want me to do. So what does Kardama Muni do? Kardama Muni goes to the forest. He goes to the forest and for 10,000 years he performs a penance. This is Satya Yuga. In Satya Yuga, people lived for lakhs of years and 10,000 years is just a fraction of lakh. So, he performs penance for 10,000 long years. Why? to become capable to perform his service of being Prajapati. For empowerment to become a Prajapati, he performs for 10,000 years. And when he performs this tapasya for 10,000 years, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself appears. He appears, and when he appears, you can read it in the Bhagavatam, it is there. So Srimad Bhagavatam describes this in great detail. When the Lord appeared before Kardamuni, Kardamuni was overwhelmed. He was in ecstasy. He bowed down his head repeatedly, you know, offered obeisances. And then he says to the Supreme Lord, says that, in one sense, you know, I'm using little colloquial language. He says that, I feel guilty for having asked something material, that I'm performing this tapasya for the sake of getting a wife, so that I can become a Prajapati, which is the service that has been given to me by my father. So the Supreme Lord tells him, Kadam, don't worry, I'm very happy with you. I'm extremely happy with you for your, you know, consciousness which you are showing. And then he says, within a few days, Swayam Bhuva Manu, who is the emperor of the entire universe, he will come here, this forest, pure hermitage, he will come here. And he will come with his wife Shatrupa and with his very beautiful daughter, Devahuti. The three of them will come here within the next 3 days. They will come with a marriage proposal. So the Lord himself is bringing a marriage proposal. Now this is something outstanding example. We don't hear of this anywhere else in Srimad Bhagavatam, but it is there in the Bhagavatam. So the Lord says they are going to come here in the next few days, and out of, you know, you should, and this Devahuti, the Lord says, is Anurupa. Now she is, you know, compatible with you in all respects, and she has wonderful qualities, and she wants to marry you. So you should marry her. And out of this, you know, wedlock, you know, you'll be producing, you know, 9 daughters. Those 9 daughters, their names are given in Srimad Bhagavatam. They will marry, you know, great sages, like daughters like Anusuya and others. They will marry, you know, great sages. And then you will be a Prajapati in that way. And then he tells Kardamuni, I myself will incarnate in the womb of Devahuti as Kapil Dev. And, you know, spread the spiritual, you know, dharma of the age. So he says that I will do that. So this way, that is called Sankhya Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. So he says that he will propagate Sankhya Yoga, and I myself will do that. And then the Lord disappears. And sure enough, within a few days, Swayam Bhuva Manu, the emperor of the world, comes to meet this Brahmachari, you know. His Brahmachari is not dressed ornately. His ordinary clothes he's wearing, you know, Jatadhari. And he comes to meet him. And emperor of the world. So he's not looking for somebody, wealthy person. He's looking for somebody who is spiritually advanced. So in the olden days, marriages took place between eligible, you know, girls and eligible boys. But people looked for qualifications in the eligible boys rather than, you know, wealth, money. Whether, you know, he has got a car or whether he has got a state-of-the-art mobile. They never worried about that. So they came. So Swayam Bhuva Manu comes to the ashram. And then he says that, you know, I have brought my daughter Devahuti. She wants to, you know, enter into wedlock. So you please consider marrying her. She is eligible in all respects. She'll marry you. And at that time, when this is said, Swayam Bhuva Manu tells him that you should marry her. At that time itself, Kardamuni says, yes, I accept your daughter in marriage. I know that she's very beautiful. She has wonderful qualities. So I accept her in marriage. But there is one condition. What is the condition? The Bhagavatam says, the condition is that when she bears children, I'll go to the forest. Vanaprastha. Have you heard of anybody, you know, any bridegroom, you know, telling his wife, you know, I'm marrying you now, just now, but, you know, after some years, you know, I'm going to leave you and go. In the modern day world, can you envisage such a thing happening? No, it will not happen. Such a thing will not happen. But Kardama Muni was bold enough. He had courage of conviction. He said that at a particular stage in our married life, you know, I will leave. And indeed, that is what Kardama Muni did. And Swayambhuva Manu had to accept that condition. He accepted it. He left his daughter. He married his daughter. And then, you know, they just left. So Srimad Bhagavatam talks about how Kardama Muni, you know, carried out his tapascharya and all those details. So we see therefore that this spirit of, you know, renunciation is there at the very beginning of life. So even in grihastha ashram, he's entering into grihastha ashram, but this spirit of renunciation is there. And indeed, after many years, after all these things which the Lord predicted happen, Kardama Muni gets ready after Kapil Dev's advent. He gets ready to leave for the forest. And he goes to the forest. Now some people ask that, you know, how come when Kapil Dev, the incarnation of the Lord, was in his house, why did he have to go for the forest? Why did he go? So Srila Prabhupada writes that, you know, he left for the forest because he wanted to be the follower of, you know, this Varnashrama system at a particular age. So it is Prabhupada writes in several places at the age of, when you attain the age of 50, one has to leave the house and go, get detached. So this way we have very many examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam about, you know, this Varnashrama system. Then of course there is the famous example of Dhritarashtra. One cannot talk about Vanaprastha without talking about the example of Dhritarashtra. As we know, Vidura was the brother of Dhritarashtra. And Vidura was, you know, humiliated by Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra in a crowded assembly. And he was asked to leave. Duryodhan literally asked him to leave the royal palace with only his breath, not in the clothes. And Vidura is Yamaraj himself, born, is totally virakta, totally detached. He goes away. He goes on a pilgrimage. And he is not there during the Mahabharata war. The Mahabharata war takes place and Yudhishthira is now crowned the emperor of the universe. He is living in Hastinapur with all royal splendor. And Dhritarashtra, who actually did his level best to have the Pandavas killed, including Yudhishthira, goes and stays in the palace of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Why? Because he wants to enjoy royal comforts. Yudhishthira Maharaj is gracious enough to treat Dhritarashtra still as a king. So Vidura, who was on a pilgrimage, he met Maitreya Rishi. There are several beautiful chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam about Maitreya and Vidura Samvada. He goes through all that. And then eventually he remembers that he has to, you know, free his brother, eldest brother, Dhritarashtra, whom he loves very much, from attachments. So he comes back to Hastinapur, and, you know, as a mendicant actually, he comes back, and when he comes back, Yudhishthira Maharaj and everybody else, all the Pandavas, they welcome him, you know, they love him very much, because Vidura is the one who saved them in various situations, you know. Palace of Lack and so many places he saved them. So they welcome him, and Dhritarashtra also is very happy that his beloved brother has come back. So things go on. So he's received well. They ask him, where did you all go, and all the details, we won't go into the detail. But Vidura's single sole aim is to free Dhritarashtra from his attachment for, you know, royal comfort. So when the time is ripe, he talks to Dhritarashtra. He tells Dhritarashtra, that, you know, you are blind from birth, from very birth. Now you know your sense of hearing also is gone. You have become very weak in limbs. So, as they say, you know, palitam mundam galitam angam dashanavinam jatam tundam. So all your teeth, you know, I also, you know, broken down. You are in a miserable condition. Still, you continue to be here enjoying royal comforts. You who tried to, you know, murder the Pandavas on several occasions, you still continue to enjoy just because Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, is kind and compassionate towards you, you want to continue to enjoy the same comfort? Said, this is not right, this is not fair. So you should now think, you know, of, you know, detaching yourself. He says that now is the time for you to break away from all the comforts that you have enjoyed, bodily comfort, royal comfort that you enjoyed. Now is the time to break away. Just leave. Leave immediately. Don't tell anyone. Don't discuss with anyone. Just leave immediately. And for once, you know, Dhritarashtra hears the advice of Vidura and implements it in his life. And he leaves. That very night, he leaves without informing Yudhishthira or anybody. He leaves for the forest. And his wife Gandhari also follows him. He is no longer attached to Gandhari, but she also follows him. And they go to the forest. And eventually, you know, he detaches himself from bodily concept of life and eventually goes for, you know, self-realization. So this is the story of... But to be able to persuade the Dhritarashtra, Vidura has to use, you know, very harsh language. Vidura never ever spoke in harsh words to his elder brother. Always treated him with love and respect. But here he uses harsh words. He tells Vidura that, you know, you are, you know, living like a dog in this house. And you are eating, you know, the footsteps which are thrown at you by Bhim, the very Bhim, you know, who has killed your 100 sons. So you are eating that. So this way, with use of harsh words, you know, he cuts the bond, you know, Bhagavad Gita says, he cuts asunder the pasha, you know, moha pasha of Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra is liberated. So all of us may not find a Vidura. But indeed, we all of us have Vidura in the form of Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who has given us this wonderful process, sublime process of Krishna consciousness. If he has given us such wonderful purports to Srimad Bhagavatam, in which all the principles of, you know, renunciation have been so very well, you know, enunciated. So we can take advantage of the instructions of our Guru. We can take advantage of the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas, glorious acharyas who have come in our parampara, and develop, you know, detachment. In other words, while we are in family life, we can live in a detached way. Attach ourselves to Krishna, to Krishna consciousness, and live in a detached way without getting attached to the family comforts. This is not to say that you have to break away from people, that you have to destroy relationship. No. But learn to live. So Srila Prabhupada, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in one of his purports, writes very beautifully. He says that what does vanaprastha mean? He says, vanaprastha means, you know, it's not going, I'm just putting it simply, the words used by Prabhupada are a little different. So, he says that vanaprastha does not mean that you have to rush to the forest, you know, vana. Where are the forests now? Even if you want to become vanaprastha, there are no forests. Vanaprastha doesn't mean that. He says that going to forest doesn't mean that in a forest there are monkeys, you know. So you should not become a monkey, you know, by going to a forest. Vanaprastha means, you know, completely taking shelter of Krishna consciousness. In this modern world, in this material world, in the situation in which all of us are living, such a fast moving material world, we cannot think in terms of, you know, vanaprastha as is to happen in the days of, you know, Kardama Muni, in the days of Bharat Maharaj, in the days of Anga, in the days of Prithu Maharaj, all of them, you know, took Vanaprastha Ashram. We cannot think like that. We cannot go to the forest. We have to live where we have been placed, but we have to take complete shelter. Vanaprastha Ashrama means taking complete shelter of Krishna consciousness. So we have to try and take complete shelter of Krishna consciousness. We don't have to become monkeys in a forest. We have to take shelter of Krishna. This is what Prabhupada writes very beautifully. So this way we have to understand what Vanaprastha Ashram is. So in ISKCON here, in this temple, we have, many of us, you know, we have passed the age of 50. So our spiritual master, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, when some of us went to him some years ago, this was possibly 17, 18 years ago, he called some of us and he told us that we want every person in ISKCON to be service oriented. Everybody should get some service. So for that purpose, you know, you start a Varishta Vaishnava Forum. So we have a Varishta Vaishnava Forum in the temple where, you know, elderly people like us, we go there, and in that Varishta Vaishnava Forum we meet once in a month. This is going on for last several years by grace of Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. It's going on. So there, you know, we discuss matters. So the idea is that our attachment for Krishna should increase, and we should get increasingly more and more detached from material life. So this is the idea of Varishta Vaishnava Sangha. So with this, I end my class. Thank you very much for your patient hearing. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki jai.